A bitterly divided Supreme Court ruled today that a man can be executed despite the fact that his court-appointed lawyer had previously represented the man the defendant was accused of killing. The attorney had represented the victim up to one day before the murder. The court's 5-4 ruling came in a case from Virginia. NPR's legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
In 1992, Walter Mickens was charged with the brutal rape and murder of a 17-year-old boy named Timothy Hall. A judge quickly appointed a lawyer named Brian Saunders to represent Mickens on the murder charge. The problem was that 2 weeks earlier, the same judge had appointed Saunders to represent the victim on an assault charge. Yet neither the lawyer nor the judge disclosed this fact to either the defendant or the judge who eventually tried the case, or even the lawyer's court-appointed assistant counsel. The dual representation was only discovered long after Mickens' conviction and initial appeals, when new lawyers seeking to prevent him from being executed asked for court files on the victim and found that Saunders had represented him up until 24 hours before his death. The new lawyers then asked for a new trial, claiming that there was an inherent conflict of interest. But today, the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 vote, said, in essence, not necessarily. Writing for the court majority, Justice Antonin Scalia said that to get a new trial, a defendant must first establish that a conflict adversely affected the lawyer's performance. And the record in this case, he said, had failed to demonstrate that lawyer Saunders had performed in any way harmful to Mickens' defense. The lawyers who represented Mickens in the Supreme Court maintained there was ample evidence that Saunders' performance was compromised by his representation of the victim, Timothy Hall. For example, there had been press reports that Hall was a male prostitute. If that were true and the sexual encounter between the accused and Hall was consensual, under Virginia law, Mickens would not have been eligible for the death penalty. But Saunders never investigated the reports about the victim and did not raise the issue at trial. In a concurring opinion today, Justice Anthony Kennedy suggested that raising that possibility would have done no good anyway, since the defendant Mickens claimed he wasn't at the crime scene at all and didn't do it. But Mickens' Supreme Court lawyer, Robert Wagner, hotly disputes Justice Kennedy's conclusion.
Any good defense lawyer will tell you that alternative defenses in some cases are required. You say, my client wasn't there, but whoever did this, it was a consensual act. That's an appropriate argument to be made and one that should have been made in this case.
Wagner also noted that lawyer Saunders did not cross-examine the victim's mother when she testified about the terrible loss she'd suffered with the killing of her son. And yet Saunders knew that the victim's mother had charged her son with assaulting her. That was the very charge Saunders was defending the victim against. Justice Kennedy, in his concurrence today, deflected that argument, noting that Saunders' co-counsel had agreed with him that to cross-examine the mother about the victim's character might have backfired. Thus, said Justice Kennedy, a theoretical conflict does not establish that a defendant has been deprived of his constitutional right to effective assistance of counsel. The dissenters disagreed and pulled no punches. Said Justice Stevens, a rule that allows the state to foist a murder victim's lawyer on his accused is not only capricious, it poisons the integrity of our adversary system of justice. Said Justice Souter, the court's decision reduces the so-called judicial duty to inquire into so many empty words. Said Justice Breyer, writing for himself and Justice Ginsburg, the conduct of this case was egregious on its face and exacerbated by the fact that it occurred in a capital case. Said Breyer, this kind of a breakdown in the criminal justice process requires a new trial. As for the defendant in this case, Walter Mickens, his lawyer Robert Wagner said today, the only recourse now is to seek clemency from Virginia Governor Mark Warner.
We're hoping that Governor Warner will look at this and say, how can a defendant be given a fair trial when his lawyer represented the victim in the case and kept it a secret from everyone for the entire time he represented this man?
Death penalty opponents acknowledge that today's decision is unlikely to affect many cases, since there are precious few like Mickens. But they noted a new tone in the court's majority opinion. Steve Bright, director of the Southern Center for Human Rights, observed that there was no attempt to treat death as different because of its finality.
It used to be, if ever there was a case that the court would be particularly vigilant about, it would be a death penalty case. Here, the court seems to apply the same sort of standard close enough for government work, even in a case where it's going to result in this defendant, who's in no way responsible for the lawyer that he had, paying with his life.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.